Hello, I'm Jim Richards. I want to welcome you, not just this broadcast, but to this series. You know what? Not just this series, but I want to welcome you to a whole new mindset, a whole new way of thinking. I want to tell you something. Jesus came and he said, listen, he said, take my yoke upon you. And the word yoke there has to do with my philosophy of ministry, how he saw God. That was a unique term that was used in those days by the rabbis. I got news for you. Jesus' yoke is always easy and light. It's not hard. It's not difficult. It is not what religion has said it is. And this thing about prayer, we have got prayer so messed up, so difficult. This is probably one of the number one questions that people have when they start discovering the finished work of Jesus. And so I want to encourage you to get ready to contact your friends, get your notebook out, send messages, get on Facebook and tell people they're going to learn something about prayer that's going to radically change their world. Man, I am so excited about this series because I want to tell you something. I don't know about you, but I love prayer. Now, I didn't love prayer like I was taught somewhere in my religious journey. I loved prayer really in the beginning of my walk with God. Then I struggled with prayer because I didn't know if I was really doing it right. I didn't know, I didn't know if I knew the formula. Then I found out there wasn't a formula, thank God. But, you know, there was a time when I really just did not know for sure how prayer was supposed to work, how I was supposed to pray. You see, I really didn't know what the new covenant model was for prayer. And I want to tell you something. When you discover how to pray based on the new covenant, it's amazing how simple it all gets. Listen, Jesus wants your prayer life to work, but it's important that you understand everything has changed. You see, the model for prayer that most of us follow, we didn't get out of the New Testament or based on the new covenant. It came from the Old Testament based on the old covenant. And I'll tell you, in the old covenant praying, you were asking God to answer prayer because you really didn't know for sure what he was going to do. So asking actually meant something different under the old covenant than it really does under the new covenant. Under the old covenant, you were beseeching. You had this sense of trying to convince God to answer your prayer because you just weren't sure when or if or how God would answer your prayer. You know what? In the new covenant, we don't have to worry about all that stuff. In the new covenant, it is clear about how to pray. It is clear about what you can expect. It is clear about what's going to happen as a result of your prayer life in the new covenant. But you got to remember, everything has changed. You know, that's not really true just in the area of prayer. That's true. See, God is still the same God. And the old covenant was a schoolmaster that helped us understand God's character, helped us understand how we should relate to each other, helped us understand how to manage money, manage our life, manage our marriage, raise our kids. And then under the new covenant, Jesus came and gave us grace so we would have God's ability to do all of this. But you see, under the new covenant, it's a finished work. We're not trying to figure out what God's going to do. We know and believe what God has done, and it's all based on the finished work of the Lord Jesus. So I want you to understand that when you begin to look at prayer under the new covenant, it's similar in so many ways as far as words, terminologies, and this sort of thing. But you know what? It's very, very different in how we approach God and where our confidence is. You know, in new covenant prayer, when we ask, we should start by already knowing the answer, which is pretty phenomenal. You see, faith always perceives the end from the beginning. And under the old covenant, they really weren't sure what God was really going to do or what God was willing to do. And so when they asked God to do something, they were asking from the perspective of, we don't know if you're really going to do this. We don't know if this really is your will or not, because there was a lot they did not understand. Now, in the new covenant, we have a last will and testament of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is so important to understand this. You see, in the New Testament, everything that we have from God, we have because Jesus received it. It was the inheritance that Jesus received. It was the covenant that God made. See, he didn't make individual covenants with us, and we don't even have individual inheritances. Jesus received an inheritance, and because we are in him, then everything that is his is currently ours. And so he left a last will and testament. And in the New Covenant, when it talks about the will of God, see, we confuse that with the willingness of God. We think it's talking about whether or not God is or is not willing to do something. Well, in the New Testament, when we pray, we must first know that it is God's will based on the finished work of Jesus. So this means that when we come to God and we're asking, and really even the Greek word for ask under the New Covenant is a word that implies that we're asking with the assumption or with an awareness that the answer is yes. And you can only have that assumption, you can only have that awareness that the answer is going to be yes if you know what's in the last will and testament. And here's what's in the last will and testament. We are delivered from all the curses of the law. All the promises of God are yes for us in Jesus. We are hid in Christ in God. We have constant access to the presence of God because we are in Him. The answer is always yes. And we've got to approach God with the awareness that we're not trying to find out what He'll do, but that we know, in fact, what He has done through the Lord Jesus. Hebrews 11:1, and you know that when you pray, you have to pray in faith. Everybody understands that. Yeah, I got a Facebook message the other day, or no, it was a YouTube message where somebody kind of said, yeah, right, immovable faith. I don't remember what they said, but basically it was just somebody kind of criticizing the concept of immovable faith. But the truth is, if we're not immovable in our belief, it's not faith. Faith is always an immovable trust. And if we're wavering, then we are not in faith. And the Bible tells us that when we're wavering, that we cannot take hold of, we can't receive the thing that we're asking for. And so the only way not to waver and the only way to be sure is to start out from the perspective of what God has already provided. Hebrews 11:1 says this, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and is the evidence of things not yet seen." Now we know that this word substance is the word deed or title deed, as some people would say. In other words, faith is the substance, or faith is the deed, or faith is the proof of ownership of the things that you ask for, or of the things that are hoped for. And so the only way that we have proof of ownership is when we have faith, when we are immovable about the things that we're asking. You see, if God has provided for it in Jesus, then He's not going to say yes to one person and no to another person. He's not even going to say yes or no based on how, you know, if you've done everything right recently. He's going to say yes or no based on the fact that Jesus did everything right. All the promises of God are yes for you because you are in Jesus, and that's the key. I come to Him. It's all been given. It's all mine. And so some people say, well, why do I even pray? Well, you're going to find out why you pray. And so many people that get established in grace and peace and start understanding a little bit about the New Covenant, they really start thinking like, well, you don't even need to pray. There's no need for a prayer life. Well, you know what? There's a whole lot of need for a prayer life. And you're going to understand it. You're going to understand how it works. And you're going to understand how to have a prayer life that really, really works and a faith that is absolutely immovable. Now, we've talked about this in other series, but in order to talk about prayer and prayer that really, really works, our New Covenant prayer, we have to revisit this. So faith is a substance. It's the proof of ownership. It's the title deed of things hoped for. Now, this word things hoped for is not talking about things as in a car, a house, a dog, a cat, a gift, a husband, a wife. No, this word things has to do with things that have already been accomplished. You see, we're never really going to God saying, God, I want to see if the things that I want fit into Your will for me. You know, we think that way, but that's really not what it's about. Faith comes to God and says, before I come to God, before I let my request be made known to God, before me and God even discuss this, before I talk to God about this, I want to make sure that the thing that I am approaching God about has been accomplished through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if this has been accomplished, then I look at this, and this is my first step in becoming immovable. because I know that God is not going to deny Jesus. I know he's not going to give something in Jesus and then decide that he's going to take it away or it's not legitimate for him anymore. You see, everything that Jesus has accomplished, everything that he has obtained, it is absolutely ours, absolutely all of the time. Now, I know the first thing you think is like, well, then why do I even need to pray? If it's already mine, then why do I even need to pray? Well, let me tell you something. That's because your concept of praying is old covenant. Your concept of praying is coming to God and trying to get him to do something that you're not sure he'll do. You're trying to talk him into it. You're trying to believe him into it. You're trying to convince him that he needs to do it. That's not what prayer is about. You know, really, I don't even like to use the word prayer because so many times when we use the word prayer, immediately people go to some Old Testament concepts about prayer. Remember, when we talk about New Covenant prayer, we're talking about prayer that we already know what's been provided. We already know that the answer is yes. So you see, we're not asking God so much to give us things as much as we're asking God to lead us into how to take hold of these things. Because, you know, there's a lot of things in life that the issue is not has God or will God give this to me. The issue is how do I take hold of this now? And you know what? We're all in different situations. We're all facing life with different challenges. We've all got different environmental influences. And how to take hold of something for one person may be different than another person. Now, we're all in faith, but we got to take hold of it given our background, given our, you know, the things that we've experienced, given our environment, given all these kinds of things. So don't think about prayer as asking God to give you things. Think about prayer as just talking to God. You know, in Mark 11:24, Jesus was teaching, and this was after he taught about how to have mountain-moving faith, and really, That whole thing on mountain-moving faith should settle this issue. We have to believe that what we say comes to pass. And really, in a certain sense here, he's almost equating speaking to a situation and prayer. It's like there's almost no difference when you look at the context between the person who is speaking something in existence by faith and the person who is coming to God in prayer. Because the truth is, when you speak something in existence in your heart, you know that it's because of what God has said. You know it's because of the way God has created you and created the world. You know it's because of all of these factors that you have the authority and the, you know, the capacity and the power to do these things. So even though you might not say in the name of Jesus, you know, in fact, that this is all about God. This is all about connecting to God. So it's a big picture. So in Mark 11:22-23, man, he's talking about speaking, having the God kind of faith, the kind of faith that speaks to the mountain, moves the mountain, the kind of faith that doesn't waver, the kind of faith that doesn't have doubt, the kind of faith that believes it in his heart and then speaks it with his mouth. And then he says, therefore, or in light of this, I say to you, what things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, I want to tell you something. This is one of those passages of Scripture that, man, I'm telling you, if you don't look at the tenses of the words that are used in the original language, you can really get confused, because it seems like he's saying that to ask for something, and when you ask for it, when you pray, if you'll have enough faith, if you'll believe, that you will eventually receive it. Now, I want you to realize that, first of all, this word for receive is the Greek word lambano. And this word is not about passively receiving. So this word is not about God, you know, tossing something to you from heaven and you catch it and take hold of it. This word is all about you taking hold of something and you bringing it unto yourself. See, that's not how we think about prayer. Our old covenant model of prayer has us going, okay, God, if you want me to have this, will you give this to me? I'm down. I got my spiritual catcher's mitt on. If you'll just toss this out of heaven, then my faith is going to be my spiritual catcher's mitt. I'm going to catch it, and I'm going to passively receive what you've given me. But see, that's not the way it works in the New Covenant. In the New Covenant, there are things, and those things are all of the promises of God. Those things are deliverance from all of the curses of God. And the issue is not, will I receive it? The issue is, will I take hold of it? You know, just today I answered a message on Facebook from a friend that I really respect. So I'm not saying this at all critical, because he was asking a legitimate question. He said, he was talking about, about going through a process of getting to where you believe something in your heart. And it was almost like, shouldn't that just happen? Why should people have to go through this process? Well, first of all, we go through this process because Jesus said to go through this process. But you see, that reflects this idea that if we just believe the truth, we passively hold our hand out and God drops it in our hand. We fail to realize that we have to take hold of what God has given us, and we have to bring it unto ourselves. And we do that through believing, through unshakable, immovable trust in who God is and what God's promised. So he says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you take hold of them and you will have them. I want to read this to you from the Complete Jewish Bible. It says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, trust that you are receiving it and it will be yours. So they have a little bit of a concept of the language and the tenses here. But, you know, Kenneth Wiest is just an incredible scholar. The Wiest translation, I'm telling you, it's sometimes hard to read because it's a little closer to how it's literally written in the original language. But let me read you the Kenneth Wiest translation. And remember now, Jesus has taught, he says, you got to have the God kind of faith, Mark 11:22. He says, and then in Mark 11:23, he says, and if you got the God kind of faith, you're going to speak to this mountain, and you're going to believe in your heart that what you say is going to come to pass, and you're not going to doubt. And then he says, on account of this, in other words, in light of this, I am saying to you, all things, whatever you are praying and asking for, and that's that word asking with the expectation that is given, be currently, present tense, believing that you receive them, past tense. Well, when did you receive them? You received them at the cross of Christ. You received them at the resurrection of Jesus. They became yours personally when you believed in Jesus and you were baptized into his body and you became one with him. It says, believe that you received them, past tense, and they shall be yours. You see, we are in the process of translating something from the invisible to the visible. We are in the process of translating the intangible to the tangible. We're in the process of taking something that has been given to us in the heavenlies and experiencing it here on earth. And that translation happens because of faith. As a matter of fact, that word substance, when it says faith is the substance, that word substance is also has to do with that which organizes something, that which creates a substructure so that something can be translated from the invisible to the visible. See, faith, being sure, creates this substructure or this foundation, this proof of ownership so that which is invisible can be translated into our world now. But the key is, I'm not asking in the hopes that it will be given, I'm asking with the absolute confidence that it has been given. You know something? And part of our special offer this month is a tool that I created called the Prayer Organizer. And Prayer Organizer is one of those tools that, boy, most people use it and have phenomenal, phenomenal transformation. Some people get a little legalistic with it, and you don't ever want to get legalistic with anything because it's just a tool. But one of the reasons the Prayer Organizer has been so phenomenal is because we may have every name of God and every name of Jesus, or nearly every name of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, in this prayer organizer. And then we have scriptures that support the covenant names of God, the names of God wherein he says, this is who I am in my covenant, so that you can know what to expect of me. And what happens as people begin to acknowledge and worship and experience these names of God, then They no longer view, here's God over here and here's what he gives me over here. Suddenly they start realizing there is no separating what God does from who God is. And I got news for you. When you don't separate what God does from who God is, I'm just going to tell you something. You will discover that you have immovable confidence. You know that it's not a matter of will God do this. You know it's a matter of, is this who God is? You see, if God is Jehovah Jireh, our provider, then I'm not asking, and I'm not talking to a Jehovah Stingy and saying, would you be willing to give me some of this? I'm talking to Jehovah Jireh. It is his nature to provide. This is who he is. If I need healing, I'm talking to Jehovah Rophi. I'm not saying, will you create a healing miracle for me? I'm saying, you are healing. You in me and me in you. This is my healing. You are the healer and I'm in you. Man, this is about connecting to God because of who he is. This is about coming to him, knowing that I'm in Christ. He's in God. God's in, I mean, we're all one together. There's no separating who God is and what God offers. And I'll tell you what, with the prayer organizer and the New Covenant prayer series, I got news for you. Your way of praying is going to change dramatically. You know, James 1:6 says, and James 1 is talking about praying for wisdom, but I think the principle translates. He says, when you're asking, and this is asking with the presumption of receiving, it says, ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And it goes on to say that person can't receive or can't take hold of anything from God. I want to tell you something. When you know that this is who God is, this is his character, this is his nature, when you know that, and when you know that he has made this promise to somebody in the Bible, and that because you're in Jesus, that the answer to that promise is yes for you. The answer to that need is yes for you. God never has a no. God never has a maybe. God never has a wait and see. God never has a this is not my timing. Today is the day of salvation. Saved, healed, delivered, blessed, prospered, protected, made whole and set apart. And I want to tell you something. When your heart is immovable in who God is and what his promises are, your whole world changes and the way you pray changes. Listen, be sure and stick around for our mentoring moment. I want to share some really practical things with you that's going to help you put this into practice. You know, so many times we talk about prayer, and the truth is we all feel a little awkward unless we've seen somebody do it. And it's really that way with everything. We need mentors that don't just teach us things, but people who show us how to do things. And I'm sorry that I can't be there with you, and all I can do is describe this to you. But you know what? Let me tell you some things I try to do when I'm praying. First of all, whenever I'm in prayer, you know, I want to be somewhere where I know I'm not going to be disturbed. You turn off your cell phone, and you want to be sure that nobody's going to be listening so you can be intimate with God and not feel awkward about somebody that's hearing what you're doing. Second thing I usually do is I'm going to put on some type of worship music or something that's going to help cut out and eliminate outside sounds, and also something that's going to kind of inspire me personally. I like something instrumental. I like something that doesn't have words to it, but sometimes I'll put on just regular great worship music. You know, you can get some great worship CDs, but you pick out what inspires you, and you create your own prayer mix CD so that when you get ready to pray, it's just the songs that inspire you. And that kind of helps you not feel so awkward. You're not hearing what's going on outside, and you're having something that inspires you, and music is designed to inspire you and to touch your soul. And so from there, you know, I want you to know that I want to pray out loud. And we do know for a fact that while silent prayer works, there's something more dynamic about when we pray out loud. It has an effect on our mind, an effect on our brain. It has an effect on our physiology. There's just something about speaking. You know, God spoke the word into existence. He didn't just think it into existence. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with silent prayer, but I think prayer is a lot more effective for us. It doesn't do anything for God, but it's a lot more effective for us whenever we verbally pray out loud. Now, if you have a prayer organizer, you can do this, but if you don't have a prayer organizer, then I would encourage you, just start flipping through the Gospels and find every place that anybody got healed, every place where Jesus worked a miracle. And if you can't find something that relates to your situation, then go to the Old Testament and find where God did something for somebody that's similar to what you need, because all the promises of God are yes in Jesus. And begin, write these scriptures down and begin to worship God, acknowledging that because you're in Jesus, these promises are yours right now. And then spend time seeking Him for His wisdom. He'll show you how to walk it out.